runs the Heather Heyer Foundation, and A.C. Thompson, correspondent for Frontline PBS, reporter for ProPublica. His investigation documenting Hate Charlottesville, the documentary, premieres tonight on PBS stations around the country. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Has a job opening for a broadcast engineer. Check the website, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkman, Phelps, Aaron Shea, Carla Wells, Laura Gattis, Jr. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
Hi, this is John Schuck. On the next Beloved Community, I welcome Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman and candidate for president. She speaks candidly about 9/11, the deep state, COINTELPRO, the Russians, the media, Israel, and more. Beloved Community, August 10th, Friday, 9 a.m. on KBOO.
On July the 2nd, 1953, I was serving time for armed robbery. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I was sleeping in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on.
There's a riot going on.
Yeah, there was a riot going on.
Yeah, you're going to tell us about it.
Yeah, I was down there.
You went down there.
I was down there on Saturday.
Well, I was going to go down there, and I decided first to drive by, and I couldn't. And I chickened out.
Well, all right. A little context, perhaps.
I think so. But first, this is KBOO, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor.
That was the context I was talking
Joe,
about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Joe Uris, Abe Proctor, 231-8187 to call in. And on the net?
You can stream us over the internet tubes at kboo.fm. And you can also contribute to the conversation via Facebook, facebook.com/Abe and Joe. Or also over the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. There were a bunch of Nazis in town.
Nazis?
On Saturday, yeah. Bunch of white supremacists.
Oh, yeah, Nazis.
Alt-righters. Pick your adjective. Pick your descriptor. Right. Yeah, they came down to the waterfront down by the Salmon Street Springs, down where Salmon Street meets the river. You know where that is.
About how many people do you think were in them?
There were hundreds. I'd say they were in the hundreds.
Okay.
It was an interesting scene, actually. In fact, let's back up just a little bit.
Sure.
Ostensibly, this was a rally in support of a guy named Joey Gibson, who's running for U.S. Senate in the state of Washington.
So he came to Portland.
He came to Portland, which begs an obvious question. Why go rally in a state whose people can't actually vote for you? That's a very good question. I would like to hear the answer to that question. I have some theories.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they came to Portland to antagonize leftists.
Oh.
And I probably, based on what I observed, did a pretty good job of that.
Really?
Yeah. It's important to remember that aside from the ideological goals that these sorts of groups espouse, and to a much more limited extent, the policy goals that they espouse, very high on their list is winding up the libs.
Winding up?
Antagonizing the liberals.
Oh, the liberals.
Owning the libs, or whatever sort of phrase you want to use.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very, very important to them.
Uh-huh.
And based on, I think, what you're going to hear in the next few minutes, that position will bear itself out. So Joey Gibson's running for Senate in the state of Washington. He is the founder of a group called the Proud Boys. The Proud Boys are a white supremacist organization whose platform is that they don't want to apologize for Western civilization.
Gee, that is like Gandhi once said when asked about what he thought of Western civilization. He said, well, it would be a very good idea.
It would be a very good idea. Essentially, they say that that every advancement of note in modern history has been achieved by white people.
Huh.
And that entitles white people to a position of dominance.
I see.
Within global society.
I see. Well, you'd think it would be natural and they'd have it anyway. Wait, they do. Sorry.
Wait, they do. So I went down there to check this out. I dressed in a nondescript sort of manner. My intention was to mingle with the fascists and talk to them and hopefully not antagonize them.
Yeah.
And I think based on what you're going to hear, I've recorded several audio clips that we're going to play for you.
Okay.
If all goes well, knock wood. I didn't want to antagonize them because these are some scary people, Joe.
Really?
These are some scary people. People in body armor. People wearing shields and helmets.
Yeah.
Mouth guards. Obviously people spoiling for a fight. Now, this gathering had been built in advance as one at which people would openly carry firearms.
Wait a minute. You can't carry firearms in a public park in Oregon, in Portland.
Apparently, you can.
Really?
Under certain circumstances.
Huh.
In the state of Oregon, Oregon is an open carry state.
Right.
However, you can only openly carry a firearm if you are also in possession of a concealed weapons, concealed firearm license.
Right.
There's a little bit of irony there, but I don't want to go too deep in that. So the plan was, according to Mr. Gibson, these people would come and rally in support of him in Portland in a state in which he's not running for office, and they would be carrying guns while they did it.
And this was by the waterfront.
This is by the waterfront. Apparently, the Portland police thought better of it, told the demonstrators that they could not openly carry their weapons. I think, though, that it can be inferred that quite a number of them were carrying concealed weapons.
Wow.
I did not see any firearms, but I did see things like batons. I saw brass knuckles. These things weren't being displayed openly, but they were there.
Huh.
Yeah. So I went among these people with the thought of maybe finding out why they were there, what they're hoping to accomplish. But at the same time, I didn't want to do anything that would, suddenly leave me the target of hostile interest while surrounded by hundreds of Nazis.
Gee, I don't understand why you'd be scared.
They were scary people, Joe. So let's hear a little bit of that right now. Let's play clip number one, Ray. Hey, Proctor KBOO Radio, can you tell me why you're down here today?
Because I believe in Trump and freedom of speech. We're here to talk and have a good time.
Okay.
All we ask is to be left alone. That's all.
I hear many of you brought weapons today. How does that fit into your conception of free speech?
Well, number one, it would be protection, but I don't got nothing.
You don't got nothing?
No.
Okay.
And only people that legally can have. So.
I got you. Do you feel you're in danger from counter-protesters today?
Oh, sure. Yeah, every time. The cops search us and let them go without. So who's going to have the more advantage?
Okay.
But we ain't attacking them. They're attacking us. So.
Okay. Hey, thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Okay. I was wondering if you could tell me why you're down here today.
Oh, my brother, Chris. I just came down with him.
Oh, okay.
Kind of goof off. And have a good time. I've never been to one of these, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, political expression is a good time.
Right.
Okay, so why are you down here in support of President Trump?
Well, I love Trump.
Are you down here in support of President Trump?
Absolutely, yeah. No. Yeah. Anytime we can make our economy great, anytime we can make everything good again, I mean, that's amazing. And I don't mean again as in, like, back when we were hurting people. I'm saying make America great.
So, hey, Proctor KBOO Radio, can you tell me why you're down here today?
Because I believe in Trump and freedom of speech.
I think we looped back to the beginning there. But I want to make America great. Not like back when we were hurting people.
Who was the we that were hurting and who were the people being hurt there, do you think?
I think he was saying it was white people who were doing the hurting and non-white people who were being hurt.
Ah.
He didn't explicitly say that, but I feel pretty confident. Drawing that conclusion.
Okay.
Most of the people I talked to, both on tape and not, were not from Portland.
Hmm.
In fact, I didn't talk to anybody who identified themselves as being a local. Most of these people, it seems, came from elsewhere to demonstrate in our city.
Oh.
This is, I think we'd be naive, though, to conclude that there are no homegrown white supremacists here in Portland. This was
It used to be East Side White Pride.
It used to be East Side White Pride.
Ended up murdering guys.
So. Right. It used to be White Aryan Resistance.
Right.
That was headquartered here. So there's a deep strain of white supremacy that runs through Oregon culture. And I think, again, we would be naive to assume that it has gone away. Now, the case you mentioned, East Side White Pride, this was back in the 80s, if I recall correctly. There's an Ethiopian immigrant who was beaten to death on the streets of Southeast Portland.
Right.
Mulugeta Sara was his name.
Right.
The White Aryan Resistance was the umbrella organization that was headquartered here in Portland, was headed by a guy named Tom Metzger. That organization was later sued by the Southern Poverty Law Center. This was a case that really put the SPLC on the map, and they were effectively able to shut down White Aryan Resistance.
Yeah, and they had a Nazi guy who was a TV repairman out of Fallbrook, California, as I recall,
yeah,
as their a senior supporter.
Okay.
And he lost a lot.
Yeah. So that essentially broke the financial back of organized white resistance, such as it was called, here in Portland. But again, those people didn't go away. They just, I think, went below the radar. But of course, now that we have a president who calls Nazis very fine people, I think they're feeling like, yeah, it's okay to crawl out from under the rocks again. And then, march with other Nazis down the streets of Portland, as we saw this weekend. So I got down there. This event got underway. It was supposed to get underway about 11:30 in the morning. I got down there about a half hour ahead of time. I was there for a couple of hours, and nothing had happened. There was a standoff across Southwest NATO Parkway. The Nazis were on the riverside by the fountain.
Uh-huh.
Antifa and other opponents of the fascists were on the other side of the street, on the east side of the street. And the police were, I've never seen so many battle-garbed Portland police gathered in one place before.
Well, I understand other agencies participated.
I understand, at least.
The training opportunity.
The training opportunity, and the state police, I understand, were there too. I've been to a lot of demonstrations in Portland over the years. I've never seen this many cops. I've never seen this many cops in full riot gear. When I got there, they were separating the two. They were not letting the two groups mingle across the street. They were making noises at each other across the street, but they were being pretty effectively separated by the police from what I could see. Now, I left just before the fun began.
Well, why'd you?
I'm using fun and
yeah, but what, you left.
I left. I had I was there for a couple hours. It didn't appear that anything was going to happen. And, I had somewhere I needed to be.
Uh-huh.
So I left, and not long after, that's when the altercations began. I did not witness this, but from what I understand, Portland police, somebody threw something. Portland police used riot control measures against the leftists. So white supremacists marching in the park, Portland police protecting the fascists. I don't know why I should be surprised, but there it was.
Well, I'm going to want to talk about some stuff that's probably going to anger a lot of people on the left in this town at this time. But before I get into that, I want to be clear personally about what I'm thinking about the situation. I think it's important to demonstrate. First of all, it's important to demonstrate against the right. It's important to demonstrate against the established government, current weird government. All this matters, and it matters in a very profound way. However, over the years, looking at people's struggles, it has become more and more clear to me that nonviolence works best. It's not just righteous or Christian or whatever, or Gandhian. It's, in fact, effective. Using nonviolent means allows you to witness for your cause and frequently allows you to gain more and more adherence. But it does have a cost. That is, you can get hurt, and this is an important part of what Gandhi taught. I was very influenced. I think I've said this on the air probably too many times, by the Catholic Worker Party. I'm not a Catholic, be clear here, but the Catholic Worker Party. I became a kind of a friend of Dorothy Day and other people in New York, the War Resisters League, and so on, and became a person who helped train people in nonviolence as integration was being struggled for. This is way back, before a lot of our audience was born. And it seemed to me that this was a good thing. I also was very, very much involved in politics here in Portland when I was going to college. And in fact, after that, shortly after that, I helped organize, along with many, many Christian fundamental—I can't fundamental's the wrong word—Christian nonviolent people, particularly the Methodists, in two peace marches. The first had about 500 people. This was back in 1960, I think it was, and then in 61, it was another march with two, three thousand people called the UN Walk for Peace. In both those cases, we had permits. We were in the street. It was very hard to get the permits, by the way. And it was peaceful. There later developed a small group of opponents led by a guy named Walter Huss, who I believe is dead, who had a right-wing organization going on in Portland for quite a while. But his numbers were always small. So that's the context of my early political activism in Portland. And this is a long time ago. But I have to admit that I was at the demonstration May Day before last, and I actually got into an argument which had elements of real visceral anger with some of the Black Bloc people. My line to them, and I was with a cinematographer. It was pretty interesting. My line to those guys was, "Wait a minute! Now you're wearing all this fighting costume and so on, but you have no weaponry, no law on your side, and no fighting skills, really, against the police. So what the hell are you doing? Why isn't nonviolence a better approach?" Well, and the one guy who I got under the skin of said, "Listen, old man," which, of course, revealed both his ageism and made me feel old. But on the point that's really important, there was a deep prejudice against older people that was absolutely clear in many of the people I encountered in that Black Bloc group. Now, don't confuse, I don't think we should confuse, per se, the Black Bloc with Antifa. I think Antifa is larger, I think it is more complex, and I don't really have an ideological take on it, except very clearly they are opposed to fascism.
And yeah, well, it's right there in the name.
Yeah, kind of hard to not understand. But I feel that what has happened in that... I forgot to tell you one thing. So there was a May Day march, which over the years has had various areas of conflict and police bad behavior and so on and so on. But in this particular case, it was a very family-friendly event. Lots of families, many of them Hispanic, all marching down the streets with permit. However, several of the Antifa people... were very rude, but that's okay. And then somebody within that crowd, and I don't know who, threw what appeared to me to be, I think, Pepsi Cola. I don't want to name a brand.
It just did.
Canned soda pop. The police used that as an excuse to cancel the permit and shut the event down and tell everybody to go home.
Yeah.
So essentially, what was accomplished, it seemed to me, by the Black Bloc people was to demonstrate, I guess, from their point of view, the fascist nature of the police. But they did it in such a way that they fell into the trap of ending a very legitimate, very peaceful, very legal parade.
Oh, okay.
I just want to mention that because that made me a little bit prejudiced against them, I got to say.
Okay. None of the, and I'm serious about this, none of the Antifa crowd would talk to me. I mingled amongst the fascists for a while, talked to several of them, and we're going to hear some more of that. Nobody with Antifa. And
is this a discipline thing, do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. It could stem from the fact that I've never in my life, in my history of going to protests in Portland, I've never seen the police use force against a group that has identified as conservative, politically conservative, or from the right. I've only seen force used against leftists.
I think that's an important point.
It is a very important point. So this is probably a discipline thing. This is probably why nobody from Antifa wanted to talk to me. There are lots of people over there. Their garb mirrored very much what I saw on the other side of the street. Not quite as sophisticated, perhaps, but I saw people with helmets, people with shields, people obviously ready for a physical confrontation. None of those people wearing black, none of those people covering their faces would speak with me. It wasn't until not long before I left that I found somebody back on the fringe of the crowd who was willing to speak with me. But this person was not dressed like the black-clad Antifa crowd were. This is not a judgment against Antifa, but it would have been helpful, I think, particularly for this conversation, to have heard what one or more of them had to say.
You know, I really don't know. I don't know what the finer points of their and indeed if they have a coherent ideology. I know they're anti-fascist, and I certainly think that's important. I also have very mixed feelings about: do you confront the Nazis or do you let them do their thing and ignore them? Is there? And I think this is something I would like people to comment on. Is there a good way or a multitude of ways of approaching this other than simply passing them by? And I'm very disturbed by the fact that right now we're in a crisis, definitely a crisis of conscience and of politics, which clearly has elements of fascism to it. I mean, Trump is, as far as I'm concerned, a living, breathing example of prehistoric fascism.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's a real crisis in our situation. On the other hand, on the larger sense, I have never felt that the United States fulfilled the thing we were taught in school about being a democracy and being a representative government and being equal for all people, et cetera. None of that was ever true to me from the time I was maybe 12 to now, and I'm pretty old. So I understand the rage, I understand the disappointment, and I understand the anger. And I can't say with any absolute certainty that confronting these people en masse, as they say, makes absolute sense. I can say that it's an inevitable outcome of the mobbishness that is taking place all over the country at this time.
I think that the Antifa and everybody else who was down there opposing the fascists, that was good, and they ought to be there, and they should be there. And here's why. Anytime somebody comes to my town espousing an ideology that is so vile, that is so full of hate, we should not suffer those people to walk unhindered through our city.
Well, I agree. I agree with that.
I'm not condoning the use of violence, and I'm not condoning. I'm not saying this should be an opportunity for both sides to fight each other. I'm saying that if those people are going to come to my town and say the things that they say and espouse the ideology that they espouse, then they damn sure should be faced with a bunch of people who are saying no. This is not what this city is about. That this is not what our culture is about. The fascists deserve to be roundly denounced publicly.
And yet you saw, and I saw it on TV, which was a limited experience, the police attacking the left and kind of ignoring the right.
Yes, I saw that once again. Once again, Portland police
seemed
to come down on the side of the fascists. And that's something that I think the police need to answer for. And we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. Okay. But there's also another factor at play in here, and that there's a significant amount of both sides in this conflict who show up because they want to mix it up with the other side. Ray, let's hear clip number 3.
Can you tell me why you're down here today?
Make America great again.
And what does that mean to you?
I'm a Marine Corps veteran. It means I'm proud American, and I'm here to fight for America. And these Nazi anti-fascist scumbags that are fascists themselves.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I'm here because of Antifa.
You're here because of Antifa?
They're the problem in this country.
You wouldn't be here otherwise?
No, I would be here.
Okay.
I'm a proud American.
Okay, thank you.
I love President Trump.
Hey, Proctor, KBOO.
Okay. There he was. I'm here because of Antifa. And that was not the only guy who said that. And I should point out at this point that the people on the fascist side of the street were overwhelmingly male and even more overwhelmingly white.
Could this be a problem of testosterone poisoning?
I think it very well could be. I'd say the other side of the street was, I think, probably still majority male, but there was a lot. It was a lot closer to 50-50 on the leftist side of the street.
So from what I saw, and I saw a limited amount of footage, it looked to me like there were quite a few women on the anti-fascist side.
There were quite a few.
And none, virtually.
Yeah, there were very, very few on the fascist side of the
right.
street. And very, very few people of color on the fascist side of the street.
Right. Oh, there were some?
There were, yeah. There were so few that to see one really stood out in the crowd, so to speak.
Were there more persons of color on the anti-fascist side?
Many, many more.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hear clip number 6, Ray.
Abe Proctor, KBU Radio. Can you tell me why you came down today?
Defend the First Amendment, defend freedom of speech. Just here to march peacefully.
Well, that's good to hear. Do you anticipate any conflicts today?
Yeah, that's why I wear protective armor, because I know marches in the past have gotten violent. They've thrown fireworks, things like that, into our side, so it's better to have stuff like this. You know, if we could do it peacefully, we would. If we could do it without any violence, that's what we want. But they want to come to our rally, and they want to start a problem. So that's why we have to wear what we wear. You know, we're not here looking for trouble. They're coming to us. If we got to march peacefully for the country, for the freedom of speech, and for the rights of the patriots, basically, to gather and peacefully, you know, I don't think it would be like this. But they've escalated it to the situation where it's become like this. You know?
Do you feel your freedom of speech is under threat?
I feel that the freedom of speech here is under threat. My personal freedom of speech, it gets infringed upon sometimes, but all we want is to be able to walk down the street and be a patriot and not get attacked for it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Can you tell me the difference between a patriot and someone who is not?
I mean, a patriot loves the Constitution, loves the country. Unfortunately, a lot of these anti-fascist people, they are admitted socialists and communists, which goes very much against what our founding fathers and the Constitution goes against all that. Sorry, I'm...
Do you feel socialism is incompatible with the Constitution?
I believe that there's parts of it that won't mix, such as property rights, things like that. I gotta go, man.
Thanks for talking to me. All right, most of that was a steaming pile of horse pucky. They're not there to march peacefully. You don't gird yourself for combat unless you're looking to fight. If they were there to march peacefully, they would go unarmored, they would go unarmed, and they would... Yeah, you cannot simultaneously prepare for violence and then claim you're seeking to avoid violence. It doesn't work that way.
I can see that. I really do. I really do think that they're looking... They're getting off on it. It's a very masculine thing. Street fighting is an old tradition throughout the West, in fact, throughout the world, and this is just another manifestation of it. Frequently, street fighting has been used as a weapon on the part of the right. In Weimar Germany, prior to the ascendance of Hitler, one of the distinguishing factors was that there were taverns, bars that were hot, that were kind of home for Nazis. And they got into the scuffle mindset. Many of them joined the SS or the SA, particularly the SA, which was the shock troops of the old Nazi movement, who were murdered in order to establish Hitler's primacy in terms of the establishment. But those people were very violent and did very many, many really hateful things, including killing people. The thing that bothers me is that it seems to be like a... It's not, in no sense do I think we're at a place where we're going to jump Nazi or something, but the same kind of mindset seems to prevail among these neo-Nazi people. And what concerns me a bit is that there's a similar kind of moral righteousness and outrage in the part of many of the people that I have talked to. Not all, and I cannot say for any, I don't want to generalize, some of the Black Bloc and some of the anti-fascist people that I've talked to. I know they regard me, because I've heard it on this station and elsewhere, as a, you know, what I guess I am, an old guy with old-time left-wing politics. And, okay, both are true, I think. However, I think that the experiences that a lot of people gained from not using nonviolent struggle and the successful, relatively, civil rights movement and the anti-war movements and so on are very important and are now being discounted. It's, in other words, it's an ahistorical rage that has an element of, I don't want to call it necessarily violence, but a willingness to engage in street fighting. And street fighting always favors the authorities.
Always.
Which is why, as far as I can tell, the authorities take advantage of that And they, I have seen the police in Portland be incredibly brutal and incredibly scary. And anyway, at one point they canceled a march, an earlier May Day march. I think it was 99. I was working for the Oregonian at the time. And they pushed all of us, including the press people, to a place where we had our backs to the river. We're surrounded on all other three sides. In two of those sides, there were chain link fences. And the police began to shoot less than lethal rounds at us. And I can remember that very, very distinctly. And I was wearing a suit and a tie, you know, and all that. And I retreated. It was from my point of view, just too weird. And I went up to what was then a bar, I think it was called McCall's. And I came to the door, and this big bouncer said, "You can't come in here." And I said, "Well, come on, I want a drink. I'm a reporter with Nana." So he let me in. I bought a vodka. I swallowed the vodka. I came back up. I walked up toward the park blocks. When I got close to the art museum, I saw more than one policeman beating the hell out of some guy. And then I think it got on TV, because I think it was a coin TV station looking at it. And I also ran into what were then the radical cheerleader women and one guy, and they were very upset. And then, and this was the same time, by the way, that the ILWU, the Longshoremen's Union, was having its international convention at the Hilton, one of the few still unionized hotels. And they had gotten a permit to parade around the bookstore, around Powell's, which was being having a dispute over wages and so on with the union, which had won a contract for operation of the union within Powell's. And it had become a nasty kind of struggle. And the police had decided to cancel all permits, and they were not letting anyone cross Burnside. However, down the street came, I don't know, many hundreds, possibly thousands of very tough-looking men and women from the ILWU. These are old-time longshoremen, you know. These are people who are hard-working, physically acute laborers. And as they came down the street, their leader came to the sergeant, I think he was a sergeant, who was command, keeping people from crossing Burnside. And he said, "We got a permit here." And the police guy said, "No, you don't. It's all been canceled." And he started to move forward. And to my amazement, the policeman used a big long baton and smashed him on the thigh. Now, had I been hit on the thigh with the full force of a baton, I would have been probably broken bone, but certainly out of it. This guy looked down at this, what no doubt was a nice bruise, and said, "What the hell are you doing? You better call your chief. I can shut the port of Portland down. I can shut the whole damn thing down, and I mean it." And of course, immediately calls went around. Immediately, they allowed the regular union people to do their march and their rally. But it was an interesting moment of the test of power, and one of the few times I've ever seen organized labor in Portland effectively carrying out its intention, despite the insistence of the Portland Police Department.
All right, we got a bunch of people waiting to talk here.
Okay, I'll bet.
Let's get to them here. Let me take care of a quick bit of business. At 9 on Alternative Radio, coming up this morning on KABU, journalist Chris Hedges compares Captain Ahab and the U.S. Empire. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Letters and Politics discusses the history behind today's global and national news stories. At 11, Radio Zine looks at the debating skills of James Baldwin and a discussion entitled Malcolm X versus James Baldwin. At 11:30, on Art Focus, Amanda Clem talks to Portland multimedia artist Willie Little. All right, this is KBOO 90.7 FM. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. We're talking about the altercation on Saturday between Antifa leftists and fascists mostly from out of state. Let's go to the phones. Joe, good morning.
Morning. I want to go back to kind of how the show opened, and the whole event was characterized, or has been characterized, as like, you know, the right coming here or coming out of the woodwork here in order to antagonize the left. And I think that while that might be an element, it's like a slippery slope to falling into the media narrative that this is just about people trying to meet and discuss, and that if we just ignore them, then it'll be better. I think that what happened was we had a bunch of right-wingers gather, and if we didn't have a big mass of people to hold them in check, they wouldn't have just demonstrated. They weren't here to demonstrate. They were here to get away with violence if they could. And by having a lot of people there to counter them, to at least hold them in moral check, if not physically intervene, as friends of mine did when they did attack some people on side streets, they would have done worse. And that it's, you know,
well, I think that's a really good point. I just want to say that. Go ahead.
There's an element that, you know, wants to fight and wants to, like, actually kind of escalate to that. But I think that most people who showed up and most people who were calling for people to show up were taking a very practical view of they're not going to get away with much if we outnumber them. And we did.
I think you're making a very good point. I have a great ambivalence around this whole problem. My memory has to do with my memory of history and how street fighting worked to the service of European fascists. And it doesn't mean that it necessarily has to go that way here. But I appreciate your call, and I think it's important that you're saying what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think we need to show up, and we need to remember that, you know, it's going to take a mass movement to expunge the right and to transform this country, and that it's not going to happen in demonstrations. There was a great rally before the right-wing rally where unions were getting together, and Alyssa Pariah, a community organizer, you know, pointed out that we have to out-organize them, that, you know, a lot of these folks aren't dyed in the wool about any ideology. They're disaffected and they're being manipulated, and they're, you know, maybe idiots, but they're useful idiots who, you know, are acting out all kinds of anxieties and hatefulness that is, you know, it's theirs to own, but it's also, you know, something that they're being fed. And if they're, you know, there's this great kind of union meme that's going on out there that if you don't talk to them, i.e. the union organizer, someone else will, and it cuts to an image of a Ku Klux Klan member. And I think we just have to remember that, you know, these movements aren't made of people who are born and bred the other side. They come from somewhere, and, you know, they're coming from our communities, and what are we doing for them?
Agreed.
No, I think what you're saying is very true. I don't want to give the impression that I am somehow anti-fa. I'm not. I'm concerned about technology and technique, but not necessarily the act of opposing the fascists, if you follow me.
Oh, listen, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. There's a lot more in the queue. Who's next? Jay, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the show.
What's on your mind?
I'm concerned about the mainstream coverage. The Oregonian in particular, which is what I saw, that it was a classic case of balanced coverage, that both sides were basically equal without providing any real context, that this Joey Gibson crowd was there, whereas, you know, while Gibson's running in Washington, not Oregon, the whole thing was bogus. They were there to provoke something.
Yes.
Well, we both agree with you on that.
Yeah, I didn't see any TV coverage or mainstream radio coverage. Cable's coverage, I heard something last night that was excellent, and it pointed out that, you know, that these are violence-prone groups historically, and they're trying to provoke that, and that, as the previous caller said, that there needs to be a presence. The whole question of violence, when you respond to violence with violence, I believe that only produces more violence, but there are times when you have to defend yourself, and that whole question of when violence is appropriate, I think would be a whole show in itself.
Well, in fact, it's something that I think we could discuss some other time. I think you're making a really good point, and I think it's a very difficult situation. I don't know, I cannot honestly say, the degree of sophistication or knowledge or historic basis for the anti-fascists. I assume there's many different tendencies within that group, ranging from probably pacifists to people who want to punch it out with the Nazis. But the point is that I'm not sure what the best techniques to deal with this situation. I really, honestly, I'm not sure what the best techniques to deal with this situation are.
Right.
I don't think a mob fight is a good test of anything.
No, I agree. I think it'd be worthwhile to talk to some of the Antifa people.
Well, I tried to. They don't seem to. Right. Maybe we. I would like to invite them. I don't even know who to contact.
Right,
I'm out of it. But I would like them to come on our show. I'd like them to have a conversation with us. And I think it's an important thing to have happen. Probably someone, maybe somebody else from KBOO can get it done. We have not been successful. And by the way, similarly, I haven't yet been successful through our management to reach out to the police chief, who's talked to all the other media, but not KBOO. Just to make note of something.
Hey, listen, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. This seems like a good time to note that the Portland Police Bureau has come under fire, so to speak, for once again using force against seemingly in defense of fascists. The Portland Police Chief, Daniel Outlaw, her initial statement was, well, of course the police don't play favorites in these situations. Then later it was revealed that a woman was sent to the hospital with third-degree burns from a flashbang grenade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's also photos circulating on Twitter of a bicycle helmet that has with the shell of a flashbang grenade embedded in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, in fact, the police have actually asked whoever took that photo to come present it to them, and also to present the bike helmet to them so they can ascertain if it is, in fact, genuine.
Why would it be fake? Would you fake it?
I really don't know. I'm just saying, this is what the police bureau has said. But in light of these revelations, the police chief has come out again and said that they are going to suspend the use of flashbang grenades.
Ah. Well, I'm glad of that.
Yeah, I am glad of that, too. But there's a number of other tactical measures that they took, too, including... they call them less than lethal projectiles.
Oh, yeah. Guns. I've experienced those.
Yes, and tear gas and all these sorts of things. Again, directed in apparent defense of white supremacists. So I think the Portland Police Bureau institutionally needs a moment of reckoning here. Who are you defending, Portland Police? Which set of ideals are you defending? The people who want to establish a white ethno-state? Or people who want to defend a truly multicultural America? I think that's a no-brainer. But the Portland police seem, again and again, to come down on the wrong side of that equation.
Well, you have to ask the question of who are the police? What are their backgrounds? What are their training? What are their ideologies as individuals? And that has been looked at a lot in sociology, and it almost invariably has to do with authoritarian personality. Not always, but often.
Let's go back to the phones. Cody, good morning.
Great job on your coverage, Abe.
Thank you.
You did good. I believe in Voltaire. I'm obviously an African American, so I also have a very deep understanding of the violence that was used to oppress black people to keep them from any type of economic opportunity in this country. But as a follower of Voltaire in the United States of America, I do have to protect the rights of people's constitutional rights in here, despite the fact that I may disagree with them.
I agree with you.
Our issue here is the violence, and how there are two issues concerning the violence and white supremacy in this country. The first issue is that I wish people reacted to the fascists, reacted to the bankers and the city people who redline all these black neighborhoods. I wish we could name names. I wish that I think the most effective racism is passive racism in today's world. And I'm hearing some vigilantism concerning these neo-Nazis. I'm not saying ignore them. I'm saying watch them very carefully and understand that all police departments are extension of our local government. Police departments do not operate as an entity independent of our state government and our local government. So we have to ask ourselves, what's going on with our local governments? The same exact local governments who are responsible for redlining and gentrifying these black neighborhoods. The same exact federal governments that was denying these black people their FHA loans after fighting in these wars.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets excited with that because it's not as saucy. But I wish there was the same level of vigilantism there is against, and I'm not talking to just you guys, I'm talking to the white people who are listening to this show right now. I wish you guys reacted to the same passive racism, because, I mean, yes, there was violence out there, but, I mean, when people are in a polaristic situation and there's a lot of gas in the air, of course you're creating a powder keg. All right, and like Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi, you don't want to create a powder keg. We're talking about human nature, something a little bit deeper than just white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about human nature. So I'm looking forward to the day where you guys can say, yeah, we're getting deep on this passive racism that's putting out a hell of a lot more casualties than these white supremacists, who are, in my opinion, I'm trusting that the state, local, and federal authorities have successfully infiltrated these organizations. And if they're not, I'd appreciate it if somebody asked them to infiltrate, like Abe was able to successfully do.
Well, right. He didn't infiltrate. I mean, he acted as a reporter. He identified himself with the station. It was all on the up and up. I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Well, I mean, I'm not, well, but I think that a black guy, if the, you know, there would have been some type of polarization if a black guy did what Abe did.
Oh, I don't doubt it for a minute.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. It probably would have been dangerous.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's easier for whites to infiltrate a racist organization than it is for a black person. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
And all I'm saying is as a black person, I don't agree with white supremacy, but I also don't agree with Bolshevikism, which is the polar opposite of Nazism, because they both do one thing. They both rely on violence to get their point across. I will allow you guys to take the floor. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, thank you for the call.
Thanks for the call.
Excellent call. One comment on that before we move on. There's more of a conversation going on right now around the passive racism that our caller described than has taken place in any other point in my life.
That's true.
People are getting woke on a whole bunch of things. Gender, race, and on class, and on and on.
Well, in Oregon history, including redlining, which it may even still be going on.
Yeah. And I think some of that elevation of consciousness is behind wanting to turn out and oppose the fascists. But as you stated earlier, resorting to violence is not going to help the cause. Resorting to violence only makes sure people get hurt. It only makes sure that there will be more violence in the future.
It also is bad PR.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's hear a little bit more from the event. Let's hear track number 4, Ray.
Hi, Abe Proctor, KABU Community Radio. Why are you a gentleman down here today?
I'm just down here to express it my right to speak in my country.
Okay. Do you feel that right is under threat?
Absolutely.
From whom?
Domestic terrorists and organizations that suddenly decided that they're in charge of America and we're not.
Which sort of organizations do you mean?
Starting with Antifa, but I could lump in about half the SJW groups that you got running through Portland right now, to be honest.
The what?
Are you connected with any organization today?
No.
No? Just down here on your own?
Out here on my own.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, the phrase he used was SJW groups. That's acronym stands for Social Justice Warrior. It's often used derisively by people on the right about people like us who are out there agitating for things like equity.
I ain't much of a warrior, I gotta say.
Oh, okay. let's hear the next clip too, Ray. Number 5, please.
I'm Abe Proctor with KABU Radio. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Can you tell me why you're down here today?
Come up here with my brothers in the Northwest to stand for freedom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you feel your freedom is under threat?
Severely. Severely under threat.
What is it that's threatening your freedom?
Communism. Communism, socialism. They cannot exist in the same land as capitalism and freedom and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Are you here in support of Joey Gibson?
Yes, I am.
And are you affiliated with any group today?
I am Billy Sessions with the Highwaymen.
What are they all about?
We're a band of patriot, confederate, political activists, basically.
Confederate? What do you mean by that?
Well, we stand up for Southern history and heritage.
I see. Now, what is it you hope to accomplish today?
Well, we're just going to show these commies up here that we'll come up here and stand with our brothers in the Northwest, stand for freedom.
So you traveled quite a way to be here today.
Yeah, I traveled 2,100 miles one way.
All right, where'd you come from?
Arkansas. Right.
Hey, well, thanks for talking to me. Yeah, Confederates, self-confessed Confederates. Coming 2,000 miles to mix it up with Antifa in Portland.
Well, I guess this should be. I guess the Antifa should be very proud.
I suppose.
I'm being ironic here. I'm sorry. It's probably not something I ought to engage in this context. What is interesting is that these people are obviously organized and obviously willing to engage in physical violence to get their point across. And that more important than either of those things is the fact they truly believe that there is, and this is Trumpism straight out, that the country is in danger from the left. To which, unfortunately, from my point of view, there's no real reason for.
No, not at all. And that guy, that guy confirmed every stereotype about racist white Southerners that you could possibly imagine.
Well, that's unfortunate. Well,
is it?
Well, it is, because I don't think all the people of the South.
I said racist white Southerners.
Oh, okay. I'll let it go.
All right, then. But you brought up something interesting right now, is that people are falling out along lines that are largely tribal.
Right.
And at a certain level, they're not giving this a whole lot of thought. And I think that's come through pretty clearly in these clips that we played. It comes through really clearly in this next one. Let's hear number two. You're down here today?
Defend freedom.
Defend your freedom?
Yep.
You feel your freedom is under threat?
I do.
Why is that?
I just do.
You just do?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't have too much time, and I'm pretty dense of a person, so I can't really explain. It's a feeling.
All right, thank you. Yeah. I'm a dense kind of person. I can't really explain. It's just a feeling. Just a feeling that I need to come down here and beat on some leftists.
So it's like a Barbara Streisand song.
Yeah,
feelings, it is.
yeah, that wonderful, racist, violent, fascist feeling.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But, you know, that... I kind of cut that interview short. I didn't know really where to go after that.
Why
are you here? Oh, I just feel like I should be
so
here.
I'm disappointed. It's not your fault, but I'm disappointed that the Antifa people, apparently with their discipline, don't have representatives to speak to the press.
They might. I wasn't able to find one.
Well, you'd think they'd have some kind of indicator, you know, press or something on there.
No, they didn't. I saw people, you know, wearing pieces of body armor, much like I did among the fascists, although there weren't as many. They had people who with these big, like full-length shields, you know, the kind that kind of go, you know, from about neck level all the way down past the knees.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people with what look like hockey masks, you know, with the plexiglass visor that comes down. But almost to a person, the black-clad Antifa members were concealing their faces and were not willing to speak to me.
I hope we can get them on the air. I want to know if they truly feel that once their identity is made, they will be repressed or busted or whatever.
Well, you know, I suspect that is the case because time and again, when the Portland police use violence, it's against them.
Well, this is true, and this is really an important point. And I'm very suspicious. I know we now have a new police chief who says she's a person of color, and she is going to be absolutely impartial. I don't see that. I know she's working with a department that has a long tradition of various things, including, I think, institutional racism. The problem is there actually going to be a change? Can there be a change since the authorities, the police, always represent the ruling class? That's where they're at.
Yeah, that's where they've always been. Let's go back to the phones. Mike, good morning.
Morning, K-Boo.
Yeah. Hey, what's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I got some, not enough, but I got some photos of the trucks and vehicles and a couple of vans and a shuttle bus parked, I think, illegally, at least against park code, at Marine Park in Vancouver, Washington. I think the city of Portland should sue the city of Vancouver and their park system for allowing these people to not only congregate there, but park their dumbass cars there. and jump and stand the shuttle buses and clog the parking lot, use intimidating, rushing behavior, smoking in the park, violent type harassment. The cops had them contained only in the sense that the police car would drive by on the, like, the little main road by there going to the boat launch and go back and forth. Clearly they are being allowed to assemble there. But of course they left and went to another state, leaving their cars parked there,
well,
blocking access for us. And of course they had, I'm sure, they said publicly that they were having armed guards, so I'm sure there was a couple guys or more left behind to guard the vehicles armed, whether legally or not, in the park. Us in the city of Vancouver need to make complaints to the park and rec for sure, and to the police, and also Portland should look into it. And please, KBOO reporters, get on this. Clark County is part of the Portland region. It seems like a faraway place. It sounds like when you're talking about Portland racist, well, it's the whole region.
Yeah.
And we're a hub. We're a hub for the KKK here. Go to Brush Prairie, go to Battleground, Tamas, the golf course community of older rich people out on the east side, Cascade Park. I forget the name of the place.
Well,
there's a leader there. They have meetings. Let's get real, people. Let's get our phones out, get our record this stuff, get license plates, report them to the center. And
I really have to object. First of all, whatever the hell these people are, whatever their beliefs, however bizarre, however racist, etc., there's a really important principle that supersedes on both sides, the Antifa and the Nazi fascist people side, which is the right to organize, the right to meet, the right to express their grievances. This is fundamental to the First Amendment. I don't want to abandon that. So when we become too repressive of any group, whether they're idiots, Nazis, or whatever, we have to realize that this is a very important principle. It can't be violated by anyone and still have that principle exist. And our history has always been replete with various elements of violation of that, particularly on the part of the ruling class.
Yeah, thank you for the call. There is sort of a silver lining to this fascist cloud.
A silver lining to the fascist cloud?
There's been a number of reports on Twitter, and I need to emphasize that this is unconfirmed, but fairly widespread. And I'll read you one of those examples right now. The Proud Boys parked all their cars in a Fred Meyer parking lot in Vancouver before getting shuttled to the waterfront in Portland, and Fred Meyer towed all of their cars to a $1,000 impound lot.
Oh, I like that one. No, see,
yeah,
that's
I like
okay.
That one too.
That's okay. You can't park in private property and expect to get away with it.
No, but that's
funny.
Pretty funny. We're getting close to the end here. I know we have a lot of people who called in. However, I feel in fairness, we need to hear from somebody on the left side of this equation from the rally.
Okay.
I managed to talk to one person towards the end of my time down there. Let's hear that. It's number 7, Ray. Hi, A. Proctor, KBOO Radio. Can you tell me why you're down here today?
I figure it's like kind of important for me to come down and just, you know, stand in solidarity with people that are, you know, all have a very distinct motive. It's just to get people they believe are fascists out of the city. So I'm just here to, you know, stand behind them with that.
You anticipate any conflict today?
I don't know. There's usually, you know, on a micro level, there's sometimes conflict, like, in different areas of the city. It seems like this is pretty under wraps. There's, like, you know, we're at, like, a standstill right now, one side, and it's blocked off, you know, by riot police. The other side's blocked off by riot police. I don't anticipate anything, like, over here where we're at right now. I don't anticipate any violence over here.
How do you feel about the opinions being expressed on the other side of the street?
I feel like they definitely have their stuff down. They definitely know what they want. But also, a lot of times, it seems like kind of chaotic. Like, a lot of times over here on this side of the street that we are currently on, it seems like everybody's kind of more, like, everybody has the same goal in mind. Everybody kind of engages and interacts in the same way. Over there, it's a lot of, like, why do you hate our flag? Why do you this? Why do you that? And it just seems kind of chaotic. And, you know, it's kind of hard to, like, even, like, I try to, you know, like, as much as I dislike their presence in my city, is, like, I, like, try to engage and see what they, like, you know, what they're talking about, you know, see what they're you know, organizing for. And it just seems like chaos. Like, it just seems like they just don't know what they want, and they don't really know why they're organized. It's kind of like a band of brothers in, like, the worst context, it seems like.
There's a bunch of free-floating hate over there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of just, like, people are just ready to, like, even if, like, me being dressed in this, you know, I'm not dressed in any colors that would suggest I'm on either side. I'm, you know, my side is, I made my choice of what side I'm going to be on. But, you know, it's not necessarily clear what side I'm going to be on. But they see, you know, maybe a person of color, or just somebody who doesn't fit their whole, like, their whole regalia and stuff. And they're just, like, instantly, like, yo, like, they're really wary. Like, there is a point where we were standing...
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We had to cut that short.
Yeah, I do want to remind people that our own Ani Haynes has interviewed Antifa people successfully.
On her show, Positively Revolting.
Yeah, and
I think... Which is archived on our website. You can listen to that
and
interview.
Kudos to her. I think that I have not really tried very hard, except in interpersonal action at events. And I think that it's important to know that we are trying to reach out, and that Ani was successful. And I hope people will listen to her tape.
And if you're listening out there and you're affiliated with Portland Antifa or Rose City Antifa, we will give you a whole show to talk about your position and your tactics.
Absolutely.
You can reach out to us over Facebook or over Twitter. That's all we have time for. I think we could talk about this all day long.
All week or all, yeah, unfortunately, exactly. All the rest of the year anyway.
Yes. Thanks for everybody who called in today. Thanks for everybody who turned out to oppose the fascists. I think it's important. We need to keep doing it.
No, and I want to make that clear. I think opposing the fascists is absolutely necessary. The techniques are what I perhaps am arguing about.
All right. Well, we're back at you next week. Real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
KBOO Community Radio is volunteer powered. We have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, operating soundboards, engineering and computer help, website upkeep, and many, many other things. To become a KBOO volunteer,